And in our study of Jeremiah, as we have proceeded, and at this point, Jeremiah has done his work, and God has settled the situation that Jerusalem and Judah don't intend to do anything except stay on their own course. So there's no wait, if you wait a little longer, if you say a little more, give a little more ice cream, do something, then maybe. There is no maybe. There is no more time. It won't make any difference no matter what. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, we share together that in the process of, as it develops, they wanted to kill Jeremiah. They would put him in prison. They just mocked him, etc. So the issue at this point is that the people are going and having set their heart against God, and they do that by going against Jeremiah, as we shared in chapter 23 and in verse 33. Now, so therefore the Israelite, to do it two different ways. One, the Israelite, Jerusalem, the Jew, should have been able to be blessed, benefited. God would be their God, and they would be carried and cared for by God in a most awesome way, in order to show all the nations of the world that God was a great God. Not to God just did things a little bit. God did things a lot. Now, so here we are looking, and Israel went and turned their back on God, and they turned their back and rejected God's grace, and His word, His working, His ways, they just rejected Him. Now, in the process, they failed God, and they didn't believe. They failed. In what way? Well, they said the temple, in chapter 7, they had the temple, and a wonderful thing. No one else had the temple. The temple belonged in Jerusalem. And the temple was built by Solomon according to God's blueprint. It was awesome. But they claimed, well, I have this of God, so God, we can do whatever we want. We have the favor of God. Who else has a temple? Who else has such a God? Deuteronomy chapter 4. No one does. So therefore, we're safe. No matter what we do, how we do, whatever we do, we're safe. And they considered the temple, chapter 7, the temple, we have the temple. Nothing's going to, even though we corrupt the temple, we defile the temple, even though we do that, we have the temple. And they failed to understand, and they said, we have a temple, we have a trinket, we have a token, we have Christian parents, or whatever people want to use. I've been good and gone to church all my life, and all the different things that people do. And they trust that. They were wrong. They were trusting that, and they could live as they pleased. They were wrong. Not only did they fail to trust the temple, the most holy place, they failed to see the priest. They failed to see the priest. The priest was going in, the temple was there, and the priest would go in, high priest, and they failed to pay attention to the priest. Now, in order to catch that, you can hold your finger here, and go over to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. And you would make note of what they failed to pay attention to. And in Exodus chapter 28, may I pick up, if I can, you will note in chapter 28 of the equipment, the dress of the high priest. And when he went in, he had attire dressed in a very certain way. All the other priests, garments of linen and all of that, but the high priest. So, would they have known that? Sure they would. The high priest did what? He had on his shoulders, chapter 28, and if I can, and in verse 7, and it shall have two shoulder pieces whereof joined at the two edges thereof, and so shall it be joined together. Now, this is on top of his garments, and the two shoulder pads that were up there, and on the shoulder pads, were the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, six on each side. So whenever the priest went anywhere in his service in the sanctuary, he would go in, and what would you know? The priest, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, going in and into the sanctuary and offering a sacrifice and incense and all of that, doing that. Here he has the name, your name, think of it, 12 tribes, and your name is on that one of those stones. And the priest is bearing it, carrying it, hang on to that. He's carrying it. Not only that, but in chapter 28, you'll remember, in verse 15, and thou shalt make a breastplate of judgment with cunning work, after the work of the ephod. Thou shalt make it of gold and blue and purple and scarlet, of fine twined linen. Thou shalt make it. And sliding over to verse 29, this breastplate, and Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment, the Urim and Thummim, the will of God and all of that. And they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall carry the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Now, God, what were they missing? They missed that they misjudged the temple, didn't pay attention, and misused it. They failed to understand the priest with his shoulders. Here's the name. Here's their name on the shoulder. Here's the name on the heart. Now, God, you were bearing the nation of Israel, all 12 tribes. There's only two left, Benjamin and Judah, down in the south, and the remnant, down in the south, and you're bearing them. You're carrying them on your shoulder, and you're bearing them in the heart. So God, here's us Jews out there looking at it, and what do we see? We see God, we see the priest bearing us on his heart, on his shoulders, support, carrying it, lifting up and carrying us into the holy place. Wow. But they didn't pay attention to that at all. Nope, didn't pay attention to the temple, didn't pay attention to the high priest, who was caring and carrying God's wonderful grace, and they just didn't do that. They failed to see Babylon's anger. They failed to see that. Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, 605, went to Jerusalem, took over, and gave them freedom to function, to operate, and they didn't do good. And Nebuchadnezzar had to come in again, 597, and he came in again, which is this period here, came in again, and they just didn't pay attention. And then the third time, Zedekiah was way out. And that's the third time, 586, Nebuchadnezzar came in this time, and he burned the city and leveled the temple. Enough. They were angering, and they consistently did so, the Babylonian emperor, the king, the one who was in charge of the whole empire, Nebuchadnezzar. They just did that. Now, so they failed. They failed. They failed to say thank you. They failed to say thank you to Jeremiah, for he's doing what? Well, at this time, if you're looking at it, he's going to be there in this stretch of time, 41 years, and then he's going to be about 11 years more. And 41 years, and he consistently, all those different kings. And you know what? All that did it get worse and worse and worse until where we are in chapter, back over to Jeremiah and 23, where we are looking. And at that point, this point, you remember, they're making fun of him. And they're going and looking, and they just, it's a thing to do. Jeremiah's busy giving, warning them and telling them and doing everything God is telling them, God is speaking through them. And they're doing what he's doing, and all they're doing is coming and saying, Jeremiah, what is the burden? Now the word burden, think of the word to lift up and carry. To lift up and carry away. To lift up and carry. Think of that. That's what it means. Burden. A burden. We've been sharing it. Now, so here's Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is what? He's a custodian of what? God's word. God put his word. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6. God said, I'm putting my word in your heart and in your mouth. And you're going to carry it. You are a burden bearer. You're going to bear me, God said, in your heart and on your lips. And that's what you're going to do. And Jeremiah did that faithfully. And in the process of that, all they did is go and make fun. And they said, Jeremiah, what did God tell you to say to us today? And then whatever he said, they made fun of it. They said, oh, and they didn't like what they said. They didn't like it, but they made fun of it and mocked it. And they said, a burden, and that's what they said. And we share that together in verse 33. They shall say, I'll read it, so in case you're there, verse 33, and when this people or the prophet or the priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? And this is what they're making fun now of him. And God said, what is the burden of the Lord? And thou shalt say to them, Jeremiah is to answer them. From now on, Jeremiah, don't give them. You just tell them, what burden? And we shared all that together. What burden? You are the burden. So here they come with their normal stuff the next morning, maybe day, and Jeremiah has got a new assignment. And he said, what burden? When they say, tell us what burden, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says, what burden? You are the burden. You are the burden. And then, you remember, as we read, God said to anyone that comes to you and says that word burden against you to make fun of you, I'm going to take care of them immediately. I'm going to judge them. You warn them, don't you dare use that word. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be used later in the future. Nahum and are going to use the burden of Nahum, etc., but not anymore. In fact, Jeremiah never used the word burden of his messages. Never used it. Now, so here they are doing all of this, and they are going to be their own burden, and in the process. So judgment takes place immediately in the process. Now, verse 35. This shall you say, everyone to his neighbor, and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken? In other words, when you want to get something from the prophet, don't use the word burden. Don't do that. I warned you. You can say, what has God said? What has God answered you? Don't you say it. Don't make fun of me again by way of Jeremiah. Don't do that. Don't do that. And they did. And it's going to be repeated in verse 37. I'll read verse 36. All of this is wonderful, but it's just time. Jeremiah got all those chapters, and we're trying to finish before the Lord comes, and there's little hope of doing it. Isn't that wonderful? Wow. Now, in the process, I'll read verse 36. What burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more? Ye shall mention no more. Every man's word shall be his own, be his burden. For you have perverted the words of the Lord, the living God, and of the Lord of hosts, our God. You're going to live with your own words, your own thoughts. You're going to live. I told you, if there's anything that I could think of, that's the most horrible thing, to be left with your own thinking and have no other recourse, no other hope. You're left with whatever you think that isn't connected to anything. I can't think of. I'll give you Romans. Think of Romans, Psalm 81. God gave them up, what? To their own ways. I can't think of anything more horrible than that. God said, I'm going to leave you alone. Go do what you want to do. I can't think of anything more horrible. That's where our world is. Now, that's why the anti... That's anyway. Oh, now, having said that, verse 37 repeats what at verse 35. And thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken? This is how you're going to talk to the prophet. From now on, you ask very politely and carefully, and you want something from the prophet, you ask rightly of him. Don't you dare mock him. Now, and therefore, verse 38, but since ye say, since ye say, the burden of the Lord, now you guys were warned, but it doesn't do much to warn people that don't want to be warned. Verse 38. But since ye say, the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because you say this word, the burden of the Lord, and have sent, I have sent unto you, the word sent, to send a word, I have sent unto you, saying, you shall not say the burden of the Lord. Now I told you not to do it, but you're going to keep doing it. You're not going to be happy. I told you. Now, verse 39. Therefore, behold, God, I'm going to give it to an angel. You're going to give it to Michael. You're going to give it to Gabriel. You're going to give it to... No, I'm going to do it all by myself, God said. I am going to judge, not by another. I'm not going to use somebody, an angel, or a storm, or disease. I'm going to do it straightway. And therefore, even I will utterly forget you, to leave you in the lurch, and I will forsake you, abandon you, walk away from you, and the city, Jerusalem, that I gave you Jerusalem, I'm going to leave it to Nebuchadnezzar, you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence, and I will bring an everlasting reproach, a perpetual reproach, actually, upon you, a shame, a perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten, and they'll mock you. Remember, Deuteronomy gave the warning. What's going to happen? They're going to look at you. And that's why the Jews were never accepted. Why did you don't have anti-Muslim, anti-something else, anti-German? No, It's anti-Jew. Jew. How come the Jews? Why didn't the Jews just get lost like they did in the crowd? They can't get lost. I'm not going to let them get lost. And you know from Deuteronomy 28, they're going to be in fear and trembling. Always, they never know for sure how it's going to go. So it is in our country. Now, and in the world. Now, having said that, a shame and a reproach. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, now, picking up the thought, if I can, over now, in order to get that, in order to lay hold of that, if you just think of a donkey, and a donkey, the word, burden, to lift up, to put a load on, it's used of donkeys, camels, and you put the donkey, and the donkey is there, and the donkey puts, you put the load on top of the donkey, and the donkey is the burden bearer of whatever you put on top of them. Now that's how Israel, that's how Jerusalem is going to look. God's not going to help them anymore. You're going to be like the donkey. And you are going to carry everything all by your lonesome. I am not going to help you at all. You're going to carry your own burdens that you create, your worry, your want, your disappointment, everything about your life. You're going to carry it all by yourself. You are going to have to live with whatever you do, all by yourself. That's horrible, but that's a donkey. Now you got that. Now, so having got the donkey part, that means you understand Jeremiah 23:33. I'm just kidding. Now you got that. Now, here we are. Now, God, we've been doing this, so I just want to get it for myself. Over to Luke, if you would, in Luke chapter 11. And in Luke chapter 11, if I may, picking up, please, in verse 46. I'm going to, always in the context, but we're picking it up just to move it along to get, to make the, hit the target. Luke chapter 11, verse 46. He said, the Lord, woe unto you also, ye lawyers. The lawyers were the scribes. They were the people that studied the law. They were the people that you'd go to understand the Old Testament, etc., the Talmud, etc. Now, woe unto you also, you lawyers, for you laid men with burdens, there's your little word, grievous, to be borne, and you yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. You are going to go, and you tell the people, say, what do we do to get better? What do we do to get blessed? What do we do to make our corn grow? What do we do to make our work better? Get a better job. What do I do? And they gave them all kinds of things. But they never did any of them. They just gave them the law. But the law, the law. Do what the law says. But we can't do the law because we aren't right enough. But do it. And you knew they can't do it. You know they can't do it. They knew they couldn't do it. Now, and God condemned them. Verse 52. Woe unto you lawyers. Woe unto you lawyers. For you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in you hindered. You kept them from getting answers from God. You kept them from knowing God. Would you please note the expression in verse 52, the key of knowledge. It does not say the key to knowledge. It doesn't give you a key to go and open a door. It doesn't do that. It isn't a key, and get the key and you can find knowledge. No. The key is knowledge. The key is to know, to understand. That's the key. If you don't know any better, you're living in ignorance and don't know. Therefore, They didn't want them to really know. They didn't know themselves. They had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore they had no solution themselves. But they were lawyers, they had a job, and they wanted to keep their job, and they did their stuff. But God said, listen, you are going and not helping them at all. Over, if you would please, you can't produce any righteousness. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And picking up, if I can, verse 19. You know it. Sermon on the Mount, verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. You cannot get in. You understand? If you're going to follow the system, you aren't going to make it. You aren't going to make it. The system's giving you a whole lot of talk about a whole lot of things, but you aren't addressing what? What is your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? You want a righteousness. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And you would know Romans. And in chapter 10. And in Romans chapter 10, remember, God, the book of Romans is about the righteousness of God. Chapter 10, verse 2. For I bear them record, Israel, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And therefore, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Now, if you're going to leave Christ out, you have to live up to the law. But you can't live up to the law. The lawyers said that you do the law, but you can't do the law. You aren't right enough. You don't have. We're going to establish then what? Your righteousness over here compared to over here, and you feel that you're righteousness on this side is two notches up above this side. So therefore, you're more righteous than they are, and that's content you. You're content. That's good enough. Good enough, you see. But it isn't good enough. It never is good enough. There is none righteous, no, not one. So now, God, here we are looking. The only righteousness is the righteousness of God. And you can't have the righteousness of God without God making some provision. And Christ died on the cross, and for the law, he fulfilled the law to provide for us a righteousness. Christ is our righteousness, period. We've said it 5,000 times. I'll say it 5,000 more until we need to lock it in. The righteousness all day long that you had was not because you did good work, or you cooked good, or you did whatever. It's because before God, it's his righteousness that keeps you right. Not yours. Not mine. It's his. And we forget that. And we start saying, well, God, I did everything. Why aren't you blessing me? No, we don't do that anymore. Nope, got it. Nope. We want to be consistent in the light of our old nature. You want to be consistent going down the highway. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, God, in the light of the righteousness and that which you're seeking to do in a most wonderful way. And so, God, now we shared together, you don't have to turn there. Over in Matthew chapter 11, you remember, the Lord Jesus said, take my yoke. Remember, we did all this. Take my yoke, ox yoke, upon you, and learn of me. learn of me. And I am meek and lowly in heart, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light, not heavy at all. So we shared all this together last time or so. It's a wonderful thing. So God, you want us to get under that. That's right. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is outworking in his perfect humanity as the Son of Man, the will of God for all of creation. Now, when you line up, and God gives you the privilege. Israel had the privilege, but they threw it away. You and I have a privilege that is exceeding everything we could understand. God lines us up with himself, his Son, who's what? Who's working everything out. He's putting it all together. And what are we doing? So as we go with him, everything, God, going down the corridor, and you're going to go and lead us in paths of righteousness for your, what? For your namesake. Why are you going to do this? For my own honor. So how are we going to get down the corridor? Well, it isn't because of our goodness or our badness. It's because of God's wonderful righteousness. And the more we trust that, the less we trust ourselves, and the better off we are. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and the right, so if the yoke is easy, the burden is light, it's very not heavy at all. So, wow, here's Israel, going back in history, here's Israel, and Israel today, you're having to carry the Gaza and the Golan Heights and Syria and Iran and everybody else, and you're there busy trying to survive. I understand. And you're carrying all that. And the government's doing it, and you got the liberals over here and the conservatives over here and the people that just want to give up over here. And wow. And you got to live with that and carry that. Boy, that's a burden. That's a burden. And if you don't have a way to put the burden down, then the burden gets very heavy and very tiring because you're in and out, you're bearing a burden. It doesn't go away. And you think you get something, you push it aside, and then something else comes on this side, and you got to bear the burden. Now, so here we are looking, and in the process, Israel is there today, and Israel is just like the donkey. It's catch the bear all the load all by its lonesome without God's help. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so the yoke is easy. So the yoke. Why isn't the yoke heavy? Because he's under the other side of the yoke. If you had the yoke just on you, you would have to have the whole weight on you and know what to do. But you don't. The yoke is on him. And he asks you to link up with him. That's all he asked. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. All I want you to do is get with me. Stay with me. As we get down the corridor. You can do it. Hang on. I'm going to run out of time here, but wow. Hang on. Well, now, in the light of that, over to Galatians. And in Galatians, chapter 6. And picking up, if I can, and you'll notice, remember Galatians, the law and the grace and all of that. Chapter 6 in Galatians, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, in which you are spiritual, such a one, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, tested. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to bear the burdens. Now, that's the word. Don't have time. If we read it in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17, the Lord Jesus Christ carries, that's the word, He carries your sin and mine in his own body. He carried it. He carried it and took care of it on the cross. He bore our sin. He carried it. That's what he did. Bear ye one another's burden. Well, God, how are we going to do that? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. He's the God of all comfort. The what? And the Father of mercies. Turn there. Second Corinthians, picking up, please, in thought. And verse 3, 2 Corinthians 1, 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Why? In order that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. For by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, representing him, so our consolation, encouragement, also aboundeth by Christ. So God, what do you say? Well, I'm going to let you be on earth. I'm not going to make you perfect. I'm going to let you stay in this earthly body with this old nature. And you're going to stay in this body with this old nature, and you're going to have a wonderful, wonderful relationship, walking in the light as I am in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin, etc. And you're going to get down the corridor of time, and you're going to have an old nature just like everybody else. You're going to be able to get the measles just like everybody else. You're going to be able to have everything else just like them. And I'm going to let you do it. So why? That you'll be able to have a word of comfort and to understand humanity. If you never have a problem, then people that have problems, you don't get it. But when you've got a problem, and you've had the problem, when you've had the pain, you know what it is to have pain. You know what it is. And God has comforted you in the trial. And you have the comfort to offer. You have the comfort to understand. So in the very minimum, when they look at you, when they look and say, wow, Ken, what do you see? What do you see when you see them? I see them being carried by God. God allows all of it. God comforts them, encourages them. It doesn't go away. They go right down the corridor of time, stay right on course. And you want to know, can God carry your burdens? Yes, he carries our burdens. And we show it. We show it. That's what you're doing. You want to encourage people. God, is God able to save? Absolutely. When they see, here's all the burdens that come. They see all the burdens on you. Wow. They see all the burdens on the Apostle Paul. Oh boy, what a pile of them. But then this Paul, I'll be triumph in everything. 1 Corinthians 2, 14. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Wow. Rejoice in the Lord always. Wow. So when you look at Paul, you say, boy, you look a wreck. But he's a one happy camper as he goes down the road. He has God's encouragement as he goes down. So now, and therefore, God, bear ye one another's burdens. Uh-huh. Well, at least we do that. That's all you can do. Why? Because you have to work out your what? Philippians 2, 12. What are you doing? You have to work out whose salvation? Your own. And you can't work out anybody else's. You would love to be able to do it. I said it the other day, I wish I could do it, but I can't. You have to do it yourself. You have to want to win yourself. You have to want to overcome yourself. You have to want to do it. And if you don't want to do it, guess what? It won't happen. If you don't want to take your medicine, you don't. You don't. What do? Nothing. You just don't take your medicine. Wow. So here we are looking, God, to bear one another's burden. Now, back to Galatians. And you will note, in God's wonderful grace, Galatians chapter 6, picking up, if I may, and in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and the word burden there, the Greek word, is weight, something heavy. When you come to verse 6, every man shall bear his own burden. So we're involved, but everyone has to bear his own burden. So who's going to, you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it's a personal thing that you have to have the victory, you have to have the experience, the understanding. Now God, verse 5, let every man shall bear his own burden. And there the word burden is that which is being carried, that which you're carrying it, and you carry it. And who else carries it? You do. Who carries your hard problems? You do. All you can do is, you can't give them to me, and I can't give them to you. You look to God to carry them. And God in you, the shoulders belong to God. We've done all this. So my shoulder, whatever has to go in that little shoulder, God owns this body. Whatever my heart has to carry, He carries my heart. I don't carry it. How can we possibly carry it? My yoke is easy and my burden is light, because I'm there to carry it on the shoulder. I'm there to carry it in your heart. That's why it's light. That's why it's easy. That's why it works, because I'm there to do it. Well, say, but God, if we leave you out, then you aren't there. No, we're just religious people. And religious people need to be right. They need to know the wonderful righteousness of God. Now, and having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, in all of this, such things, just think, if you would, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, the world is busy going and looking and wants to be able to survive, succeed, to eat, to drink, to be clothed. And God says to the believing heart at that point in the context in Jerusalem, don't you know you have a Heavenly Father? And He knows the need of all these things. You aren't like them. You're different. I and you, we carry together. I let it all happen, and then I work it out in your life, and you carry it. That's what you do. And the world has to pay attention, because I may let awful things happen, and you're able to hang in there and stay on course and look to God. And they have to pay attention, because it isn't a game. No, it isn't a make-believe. It isn't just being religious. We don't need to be religious. I hate religiousness anyway. Now, so here we are, God. And having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, God, we owe you. We just owe you, and I will leave it at that. Well, one other place, all kinds of places. Think of 1 Peter 5, 7. Cast, why don't you turn there if you want. It'll take 30 seconds, but it's worth it. We're going to go 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. I'm not going to humble myself. Then you aren't going to know. Oh, proud. Those are me. Well, then you won't know. You just never know. No. Well, just won't know. Well, now, therefore, casting all your care upon him, all your anxiety, all a divided mind makes happen. All a divided mind, because we can't carry it. And that's the same thing in the context of Matthew chapter 6, 25, all the way through, the word thought. Take no thought. And it's repeated down to where you hit verse 32. Do you have a heavenly Father who knows all these things? Here in chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your thought, all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares. And that's the word. What's that word? He cares for you. He takes you into consideration. You are a personal concern to him. And a little preposition. He surrounds you with his concern. You, don't you worry. Don't you be anxious. Don't you have a divided mind. God surrounds you with his care. That's like Psalm 32. He surrounds us with what? Songs of deliverance. That's what he does. Wow. That's what it is to be saved. And that's what Israel, they missed it. So God, here we are looking. That's a wonderful thing. God, would you help us to stay? A prayer, if you want a prayer, a request. God, help us to stay under the yoke. Help us to get to the yoke and stay under the yoke in order to enjoy the trip. Otherwise, you're out there and you're going to make it go and you're going to figure it all out and you're going to help us all. Wonderful. No, you're not. No. No. God help us. Anyway, hope you got a little bit. Burden. Don't be like a donkey and you have to carry it all by a lonesome. God said, I don't want that. I want you to know, when I entered your heart, I took over those shoulders, and I took over that heart. And what I do, that's why Jeremiah is going to survive 52 years. Wow, that's what he did. Amidst horrible situation. How could you do that? God, wow.